Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome, everyone, to the Robin Walter Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. If we didn't have a full show, that would only mean there's absolutely nothing going on in the entire world. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I started this 21 years ago, and I always wonder, gosh, what happens if there just isn't material to share that needs to be shared? So it represents, I don't know, what have I done? A little, somewhere close to 1,100 programs, and that's never happened. It has never happened. So I can only conclude that it never will happen. Okay, let's get rolling here. Try to start with good news. End is going to be a bit rocky today, but we're going to launch well. The fact here that Bible sales are going through the roof. They are soaring since the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It is just amazing. And, you know, I compare this event sometimes with 9/11 and what happened after 9/11, and there is no comparison. There really is not, because 9/11, yeah, it was horrible, terrible, of all these people that died, but it was political in nature, although it had a spiritual underpinning with the attack against a so-called Christian America by Islam, who considers America the great Satan. They just need to look in the mirror, but that's another story. But the fact of the matter is, after a couple of weeks of burgeoning attendance in church, it was starting to go back down, and in a month and a half, it was back to status quo. And the ensuing decade after 2001 was a decade in which probably was the greatest advancement of evil in the United States. We all went around saying, God bless America. But America didn't bless God. It really was truly a lesser event than Charlie Kirk's assassination and his memorial. And I say that because, while I'm sure there was an uptick in Bible sales back then, it didn't last. It wasn't real because it wasn't rooted in a spiritual battle. Charlie Kirk's assassination, it couldn't be more political, but it also couldn't be more spiritual. Bible sales are up 36%. 36%. Since he was assassinated. And while it does vary demographically and by age group, it's not up 36% in every age group, but it is up in every age group. I think it might be Gen Z was up about, I don't know. You know what? I actually didn't bring that material with me. The issue was, if it's up for all age groups, that means it had a very universal impact, except for the people who hate Christianity, mock it, were thrilled at Charlie Kirk's execution. They're out there. They're still out there. And that's just the way that it is, I guess. But what a thrill to see Bible sales soar like this. One fellow said, I was going to quote him, he says, when the noise of culture gets stripped away, the hunger for truth rises to the surface. And ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth? Well, that is the truth. The culture is so loud, you got to get rid of that stuff. And it's increasingly invasive. I mean, it's getting harder to shake. I still can't figure out how to spam text messages. There's got to be a way. I hate figuring out. I just want technology to work. I really don't want to figure it out. It's an iPhone. Somebody got an answer. You can write me, Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. It's iPhone 16, if that makes any difference. But it's just, you know, here's an example of the invasiveness. Now, this isn't on a spiritual thing, but it's a case of it's getting harder to insulate ourselves from that which is just pounding in our brains. I called a dentist yesterday afternoon, and I asked them if they took a certain, either one of a couple of insurance coverages, because I'm looking at changing here at the end of the year. I'll let you know if anybody's interested in what I choose, but I don't know that I'm the answer here. But the dentist didn't take either of the insurance plans that I was looking at, which was happened to be Aetna and Humana. Doesn't make any difference. He didn't take them. Okay. I'm going to go someplace else, unless I can't find somebody else. But so what happens? In less than 12 hours, I'm getting text messages from this dentist's office that I've never done business with. I only inquired about what do they accept from an insurance standpoint. And now I get inundated with text messages. This is happening all the time. I've had some hearing issues. I've had a tinnitus. Some say tinnitus, some say tinnitus, some say Igor, some say Igor. Tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. I forgot what movie that was. It was a good movie. But anyway, I look online for something that, you know, maybe with tinnitus, and I'm there's just a deluge of stuff pouring in on my computer, which I'm spamming like crazy, try to unsubscribe. I got places that I can't unsubscribe to. Either they don't give you that option, or they give you the option and you do it and it doesn't do a doggone thing. And the spam isn't working. And I have a private network. I use Google for the radio program, but for my business, I don't use any of those known platforms. I have a higher security thing, but I still can't keep them out. It's just like they're after me. No matter where I go and what I do, they're after me. It's really bothersome. I'm sorry to get going on this thing, but I don't know if some of you have the same problem or the same vexation, because that seems to be, to me, what it is. Okay, the next good news piece, the last for the day, and this won't necessarily be good news for everybody. I think it's thrilling, and that is the extent to which gun ownership is increasing in the United States by significant numbers. Listen to this. Gun ownership in America increased by 28% over the 20-year period of 94 to 2023. And 2023 happens to be the last year that we have records, full year. We don't have them for 2024 yet. Obviously not for 2025. It's not over. But based on the NICS background data and checks and the manufacturing records, it is now estimated that there are 500 million civilian-owned firearms in the United States. 500 million. Our population is 340 million. So we're looking at 1.5 guns per person, from the oldest right down to little baby Huey. What's he doing? Well, now, obviously, I'm kidding. I'm not making light of the fact that guns have spread, but it is a good thing, not a bad thing. It's always been easy to get a gun, but it's not ever been easier than it used to be. It's easy, but it's harder today than what it was 20 years ago. Various states have background checks. You got 10-day waiting periods, 30-day waiting periods. You got all this crap, all of them, mostly California has invoked, but Illinois and Massachusetts and New York and other stupid states have invoked these things. Of course, the mass murders tend to still be in the states where there's the strictest gun legislation. So why is this a good thing? I think it's a good thing because you never know when you're going to need it for the ultimate purpose for which the gun was created, personal protection, be that a person breaking into your house or be that a government force, which is simply exercising control over every household to bring it in line with what the government dictates. Now, I'm not talking about ICE or anything of that sort. I mean, what's the problem with arresting criminals and illegals? I don't know why there's such a big problem with arresting people who've broken the law. Isn't that what the law is about? Seems like it to me. I'm going to throw this out there. I do think everybody ought to have four firearms. Four. Say, well, why four? I think you need a good long rifle, which you could use for hunting when it comes down to that. You need a shotgun, which could get a game at a short distance. It's also the best firearm inside the house for personal protection. Why? Because maybe you can't see the guy who's breathing threatenings at you in the corner in the dark, or you can't see him well enough to put a bead on him with a single shot gun, be that a pistol or a rifle. But a shotgun scatters it. You will not miss. You will, some part of what you're shooting will get the guy. Or the woman. We don't want to leave women out of this, but I can't remember the last time I read a story about that. So that's a good thing. The other two guns, though, are a revolver, which will not jam ever, and a semi-automatic pistol, which could jam. One thing that's very popular here in Arizona are concealed carry purses. So that if there's a woman who's being accosted, the guy with a knife or a gun says, give me your purse or give me your wallet, whatever they might say. She said, well, I'll just give you my wallet. Reaches into the purse. There's a gun. She pulls the trigger. It shoots right through the leather. And a bad guy gone. End of story. So firearms have always been a safety preservation item. People say, look at all the shootings. 40 shootings in Illinois last week. Just a typical weekend in Chicago. From that standpoint, 10 dead, whatever, 5 dead. But it seems like there's always at least 40 that get shot. People, it's just too many guns. No? They say, well, they're bringing them in from India. Look, it was never been harder to get a gun legally than it is today. Never been harder. I had a gun, a long gun, in my locker for a week in fifth grade. Now, why was it there? Because I was using it in a school play, a reenactment of the surrender at Yorktown. I got to be the British general. I can't even think of his name right now. But I had the long gun with me in the classroom doing the skit. Problem? No. No. Sat in my locker for a week. Whereas my younger son got called into the principal's office at the last year of a government school in California. Why? Because a neighbor, he was probably third grade, a neighbor who was in fifth or sixth grade, asked him if he could borrow his squirt gun. My son's squirt gun. My son said, yeah, you could just bring it back to me, you know, next week or something. He took the squirt gun to school, and based on the no gun policy, they confiscated it, but they contacted my son, who was 8, for giving the neighbor, loaning the neighbor, a squirt gun. This is the degree of stupidity that we have, and we are the last country in the world that has a Second Amendment or an equivalent thereof. And it's the last thing keeping us free. The very last thing. Go look at the Bill of Rights. There isn't one single Bill of Rights of the 10 you could enforce if we didn't have a Second Amendment. They're all non-enforceable if you didn't have 500 million guns out there. That's why General What's-His-Face in Japan, at the end of World War II, he was asked, why didn't you invade America? He said, are you nuts? There's a gun behind every bush. And so what's changed? Not the prevalence of guns. Guns have gotten harder to get, and they've gotten safer to use. There's less malfunctioning, the technology increasing. What do we have? We have a lawless society that's been taught that every person can do what's right in their own eyes. They can have their own identity. They can have their own morality. It's fine to slaughter children in the womb and they'll whisk girls off to an abortion clinic. You can destroy them genitally. You can destroy their minds. We have a death cult that runs the government schools. And guess what? With a death cult running things, you end up with more violence. Look at Genesis 6. Estimates show that 82,880,000 people own at least one firearm. At least one. Just under 83 million have at least one. Like I said, you need a shotgun, a long gun, you need a revolver, and the other short gun is a semi-automatic pistol. And then get the heck out of California if you need to defend yourself. The revolver should work. 43% of all households have at least one firearm. 43%. This is a great number. Because when the left-wing Gestapo comes around, which would, you know, maybe be the next administration, are they going to know that 43% of the households have firearms? Yes, they will. They just won't know which ones. And why? Well, because of a statistic I'm going to give you in a minute. Women's firearm ownership has increased in the last 20 years by 178%. That's a great number. They say, well, you know, the women, well, they can use, you know, some kind of spray thing to deter the person. Well, what if you got three guys that want to rape the woman? The woman can't spray them all, or she gets surprised. And what if the guy's 6'5", the woman is 5'3", 118 pounds? The gun's a great equalizer. Do you feel lucky, punk? Well, do you? They're on equal ground at that point. I get it. I totally get that. The fastest growing demographic of gun owners, with a 33% increase in ownership in the last 7 years, are Hispanics. Now, ones who've become naturalized and become citizens, if they've come from another country, they haven't enjoyed it. There's no country that people can come from that have the freedom here. And I have to say, this actually is my biggest issue with mass immigration, or I might just put it immigration, period. Look, the Monroe Doctrine, the Great West, it's all been civilized. We don't need a Western expansion to bring the country under control anymore. It's in control. We got all that we need. The problem with any person, and I'm not making this as a moral issue, but just as a cultural one, whether they come from Latin America, whether they come from Europe, whether they come from Australia, whether they come from the South Pacific or Southeast Asia, none of them have guns. And when they get here, they seem to think no one else should have any guns. Oh boy. Gun ownership declined by 22% in the 18 to 29 age group in the last 7 years. That's the only decrease that I see. Here's, I think, one of the greatest stats, and I'm done with this. I spent a lot more time on it, but I think it's important. I told you that there were 500 million civilian-owned firearms in the U.S. 6 million. Six out of 500 are registered in America. Now, the U.S. doesn't require registration for all firearms. Some stupid states like California, and sadly, increasingly so in my home state of Michigan, but others, you got to register them all. Why? So they know whose door to knock on when they want to take it from you. What else would be the purpose for it? But only six. 6 million. 6 million out of 500 million means that only three. Well, let's see. That would be. Let me see. Well, do a million. Well, it'd be if there were a trillion, then what if you have as a percentage? You just got a few percent, and that's great. That the government does not know. Does not know who's got them, and that's the way that it should be. Be careful. And one of the things that I have come to, and I can't say specialize in, but what I'm handling an estate of somebody that has died, I will tell the executor or the trustee, well, I'll start with a question. Did you have any firearms? Did the deceased have any firearms? And they might say, well, we don't know. Or, no, we're certain they didn't because he was very against that. And yeah, there's one under every seat cushion in the whole house. And I will tell those individuals, which I can legally do as their attorney, do not dispose of them by turning them in to the police. I don't even care if they're illegal guns. The reason being, even an illegal gun in the hands of the executor of the estate or the trustee is illegal. Somebody's got to take possession of it. Now, if they decided to keep it for themselves for a couple of years and just make it their own, that's a whole other story. But we have ways of legally disposing of guns, which means transferring guns without the state of California knowing, and the state of California does not need to know, and there's not a legal requirement that they be told that there's a transfer when it doesn't occur inside the state of California. Pretty simple. You got that? You got an issue? I'm not here to advertise, but you got my email, redskyradio777@gmail.com. I deal with this quite frequently when it comes up in the manner of handling an estate. And there are ways you can legally, as a trustee or executor, get them out of the state and then transfer them without entering into a government system of registration. All right. Well, I took way more than I was going to. I don't like talking about Kamala Harris. She's a nauseating piece of garbage, a cackling hyena, though hyenas have more brain than Harris has. And I'd rather listen to the hyenas. Actually, with my window open, I listen to coyotes every night. It was when they nail a rabbit, and the mob is having a Hassan Pfeffer party. I kind of like it. I like the sounds of the wild. I really do. But anyway, so she's out on her book tour, and like the Babylon Bee said, what I think was great, Babylon Bee says that Harris launched her book tour just to remind the nation of why Donald Trump got elected. Okay, but that's not really what this is about. Harris admits in the book, and she noted that it's patently unfair for boys to compete in girls' sports. And she said in the recent book about her presidential candidacy, former Vice President Kamala Harris admits that she, too, shares these concerns. This is written by Macy Petty, a former NCAA volleyball player, who's also a legislative strategist for the Concerned Women of America's Legislation Action Committee. So this is what she wrote on Fox News. That Harris noted, she noted that in Harris's recently released book about her presidential candidacy, former Vice President Kamala Harris admits that she, too, shares the concerns of women who have to deal with boys playing in their sports. And I'm going to quote from the book, "I agree with the concerns expressed by parents and players that we have to take into account. Biological factors such as muscle mass and unfair student athletic advantage when we determine who plays on which teams, especially in contact sports." So she admitted it. Did she ever admit it on the campaign trail? No, she lied out of every orifice of her body. I'll let you name all the orifices. But then she goes on to say, there was, quote, there was no way I was going to go against my very nature and turn on transgender people. End quote. Do you hear what this malcontent, brain-dead, wicked witch of the West is saying? Yes, it's unfair. Yes, it's dangerous. It's not right. But who cares about the truth, because I'm not going to go against transgender people even though they're causing harm. In other words, no way can I possibly be honest if it's going to hurt me politically, because she wrote here, said, when reality collides with allegiance, well, this is Petty writing, when reality collides with allegiance, when truth collides with allegiance, Democrats choose allegiance. They'll embrace a lie. They'll embrace deception. They'll embrace a dangerous cultural development before they would come out with the truth that they think it's going to hurt their sorry political tush. Now, Babylon Bee, here we go. Love these guys. I think I'm going to start writing for them. I've got two sons who, the three of us, are thinking about writing articles for the Babylon Bee because they're starting to accept them from third parties. And, you know, I don't know. Sounds like a lot. Sounds like a blast. But they said, had an article that says, Republican National Committee contributes $50 million to the Kamala Harris election campaign for 2028. They want her so badly to be the candidate, they'll contribute to her. Well, that's satire. They aren't really doing that, of course. But point well made. That's just how bad they are. And while we're on the tranny subject, I'm going to touch on one other thing here. The whole must-stay gay laws. In other words, if somebody's queer, you can't counsel them to pursue being heterosexual at any way, shape, form, or level, from any direction, pastor, psychiatrist, psychologist, counselor, school teacher. You got stupid states stuck on incredible stupid like California, which is a moral morass, but joined by Massachusetts, Illinois, New York, the usual suspects. They're saying if somebody's queer, they got to stay that way. You cannot try to bring them back. I don't know why there isn't an attorney that has challenged this on the basis of it violates the equal protection law of the U.S. Constitution. And what do I mean by that? I'm the only one that talks about this, but I don't know why. Either I'm missing something big here or somebody else is missing it, because if you can't counsel somebody about wanting to be heterosexual in their preference, not orientation. There's no gay gene. But in their preference, then how and why can queers counsel, encourage straight people to be queer? Right, if you cannot encourage a homosexual kid or homosexual inclinations and leanings to straighten up and fly right and be straight and return to his heterosexual roots, of which they are, if you can't do that, then why can the queer side have it be legal to lure and groom straight kids into being queer? It violates the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. I don't know. One person writes that the fight for counseling freedom isn't about forcing anyone to change. It's about defending every person's right to seek help aligned with their own beliefs and goals. That's absolutely right. No one's forcing anybody. They're just trying to help those to align with what they want. Don't go away. This is Robin Walter with Red Sky Radio. Robin Walter Show. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Hey, I'm sorry if that's a little too loud. I will never turn it down for my own headphones. You're going to have to turn your radio down. I'm sorry. Love that song. Okay. A couple weeks ago when I covered the 20 points, which I've never heard anybody cover, of the peace plan, I said it will never last because Hamas won't agree to some things. That will give Netanyahu the opportunity to back out of his pledge to work for a pathway to a two-state a Palestinian two-state solution. He doesn't have to do that if Hamas violates the agreement, which he knew he would, and that's why they could commit to it. Well, obviously, Netanyahu has now ordered airstrikes on Hamas and Gaza after this fake body transfer, which I'm not going to even go into. You probably heard it on the news, and you don't need to hear it from me detailed here at this point. But it was never going to happen. I knew it wouldn't, but Trump still deserves the Nobel Peace Prize for that and many other acts of grace on his part and selflessness. You see, the Nobel Peace Prize is not awarded because somebody accomplished peace. The Nobel Peace Prize is to be awarded because somebody has attempted and gone to great lengths above and beyond what would be required or thought of or asked of anybody to attempt to achieve peace, whether or not it's actually achieved. I mean, nothing's changed in, in South America where that gal won the prize. I forgot, was it Venezuela? I think it's Venezuela. Anyway, nothing's changed, but the effort that she gave to make things change is what got her the award. Now, I want to cover not just for my California friends, of which I have many. But for the whole country, I have said for 5 or 6 years, Gavin Newsom is the worst thing on the horizon for America. I was fully convinced he was going to try to be the candidate. He chose wisely to not take on Trump in the 11th hour of that campaign. He's been running for president forever. He is slick. If you want the definition of slime, just look it up in the dictionary, and all you'll see is Gavin Newsom's picture. He's a greaseball. Probably, if you're serious about reducing climate warming, which I see Bill Gates now has just changed. He's no longer the climate alarmist that he once was. That's really not the problem we thought it was. But Gavin, if he just reduced the amount of axle grease he used on his hair, if there was any truth to it, he will have contributed in reducing his climate warming, what do they say, footprint. Yeah, his footprint. Anyway, Gavin, a few years ago, signed what was called SB 357. Not to be confused with the 357 Magnum. That's a beautiful and wonderful gun, but this is not so beautiful and wonderful. And it was a shield law, and it was passed by a Democrat by the name of Scott Weiner, properly named, up in the Bay Area. And the whole idea was to reduce the crimes ultimately to be committed by homosexuals against minors. And it gave a certain, I don't want to go into details of it, but it gave a certain freedom from prosecution for young girls to the extent that they may be a participant in that activity. And now what do you have in California? This shield law has made a prostitutionary, full-blown sex market full of 12 and 13-year-old girls, most notably of which in downtown L.A. 13-year-old girls walking around in stilettos and mini skirts, and they're whoring, and they've got pimps, and the pimps are gangs, all because Gavin Newsom wanted to accommodate the queer lobby for a law that's from the pit of hell. But that's not where the slime of Gavin Newsom ends. There's enough slime here that would, from this guy, to block sewage lines. So take Wesley Hunt here. He's a Texas Republican, black, Texas Republican, who is mocking Gavin Newsom because he's simply doing what Hillary Clinton did, what AOC does to some extent. And you had some, I don't know, I'm trying to think who else. Oh, Harris. Harris, even though she's of mixed race, was always, depending on her audience, kind of moderating or modifying her accent to please the audience. She was so, things that she would do was so contrived, and Hillary did that. Hillary would start talking like a white Southerner when she needed to start talking about like a black person. Wherever she was, it was a black crowd. And now Newsom is doing it. Is it any wonder that blacks are leaving the Democrat Party? They know they're insincere. They're fake. They don't identify with, I'll tell you who they least identify with, white elitist liberal women and white queer guys. Right? That's why Pete Buttigieg, in a recent survey, a significant poll, registered, he was a leading candidate right now for 2028, registered absolutely dead zero support from black men. Way to go, you guys. I'm proud of you. So Newsom is on this podcast with a couple of black ex-former athletes. And he said that he had to hustle as a kid to take care of himself. Now, mind you, a little bit later in his prepubescent life, or maybe junior high, somewhere in there, his father was the main lawyer for the Getty family. Do you think this family is loaded with money? You better believe it. So Hunt says, this is the black Republican here is saying, quote, speaking to on a podcast, "Brother, we call this code switching, okay? This is the efforts of white benevolent liberals that don't view us as equal at all. And by us, I mean black people. They talk down to us. They think we are too stupid to get an ID to vote. They think that we are incapable of following the law. They always want to give us handouts instead of hands up. The white benevolent liberal is the most racist person I've ever seen in the history of this country, and many of them don't even know it." End quote. For right now. So this is a black legislator saying this and calling it as it is. So on this a podcast, Newsom talking about further about his childhood, saying that his mother worked 2.5 jobs while he basically raised himself. It's a bunch of crap. Quote, "I was also about paying the bills, man." You see this? He doesn't say this, except to black guys. "I was also about paying the bills, man." He doesn't say that to Hispanics or whites or anybody. He's just, everything is a contrived piece of crap from this guy. He said, "I was just like hustling, man." Oh, come on. "And so I was out there kind of raising myself, turning on the TV." What, that's raising yourself because you have to turn on the TV? Okay. "You know, just getting obsessed." With what? He doesn't say what he's obsessed with. "I was sitting there with Wonder Bread, the macaroni and cheese." Newsom said as one of his hosts laughed, "This is how I grew up, bro." He doesn't use that. What a whore. What a pimp he is. He does think people, blacks, are stupid, ignorami, that he's got to talk down to. He's got to relate to them on some ridiculously low level with bro, man, like this man. That's how I grew up, bro, every day in the backyard. You know, just bouncing the basketball, throwing the ball. Well, what? So when did he bring up basketball? Well, it's probably the most popular sport among blacks. He's just patronizing them like the jerk that he is. Yeah, just bouncing the basketball around, throwing the ball against the wall until the ball was, you know, just like frayed. That's it. Basketballs don't fray. Back to Mr. Hunt. Quote, "The condescending tone in which liberals address us is utterly ridiculous. They think they can now talk to two black basketball stars, and then all of a sudden, I'm a brother now, too, because I'm hip and I'm down. To be honest with you, it is quite condescending. It's actually quite disgusting because black men, if you think black men can't think for ourselves, you cannot think that we are beneath you, that you're going to carry us, and you're going to pat us on the head and say, come along, young little boy, and let me show you the ways of the white man. We don't need you to do that. The only thing I want you to do is treat us as equals and to respect us." Well, William Nelson, his father, administered the Getty family's billion-dollar fortune. But he wasn't the only one. You got all the others that are kind of faking the black accent and so forth. I mean, this guy, I can't even describe to you how much I despise him. And yes, I did say last week, I wouldn't care if his plane went down on an approach to LAX and smacked into the San Gabriel Mountains. Couldn't care. Like I said, there's a passage in Scripture that when the wicked pass away, the righteous rejoice and shout for joy. Now, I want him to get saved because he's got a charisma that could be incredible for good. But for every gift for good, if it's used for evil, it becomes incredibly evil, incredibly wicked. I've shared with others when they've asked, could you ever vote for the guy? I said, yes, I could vote for him as the Antichrist because I think that's what the Antichrist is going to be like, kind of good-looking, cultured. People will like him, the JFK effect. He's got his hair coiffed just right, blah, blah, blah. Got this charisma. And then Newsom finishes the week with this. Zoran Mamdani, the socialist Muslim whack job who will probably be mayor of New York. Hope not, but probably. Newsom says, Mamdani isn't bad for the party. In other words, it's not bad for the party if we talk about destroying Israel, discriminating against Jews, socializing everything, taking over all the food stores in New York City, unbridled immigration. No, he said, Mamdani isn't bad for the party. Dems can unite on common social and economic justice platforms. In other words, if there's some degree of coming together among the Democrats on something called social justice and economic justice, justice is the correction of that which was wrong to be righted. And it is actually the punishment of that which is wrong. Whenever we speak about the scales of justice, we're talking about punishing evil. We're not rewarding people who haven't done crap and get something that they didn't deserve. Any adjective before the word justice, whether it's social justice, economic justice, environmental justice, any adjective in front of the word justice pollutes the meaning of the word justice. But that's Newsom. Mamdani isn't bad for the party. Dems can unite on common social and economic justice basis. So let me put this in another context. let's suppose, since the Democrats always want to talk about Adolf Hitler, right? There's Hitler, 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 Hitler. Oh, my gosh. They nauseate me. They make me want to barf and hurl and puke and throw up and Ralph and all the other things for vomit. Because that's what they do. I cannot stand it anymore. But listen to this. If they're going to talk about Hitler, I'm going to talk about Hitler for just a minute. If they want to talk about 8,238,000 hours, I think I can talk about it for 2 minutes. Here's the deal. What if I said to you, Adolf Hitler isn't bad for the party because I think we can unite behind the fact that he has built good schools and he's upgraded the medical care for the Germans. Two things which Adolf Hitler actually had a role in to some degree. I don't want to get carried away with a good school part, but he did upgrade the medicine to control of it in some way. So he said, we can unite behind Adolf Hitler because of his building good schools and upgrading the medical care, even though he's killed 6 million Jews. Well, when does the evil Newsom, that is the signature character definition of this whack job Marxist Muslim, Jew-hating Muslim, which most of them do, that's nothing new. Hate Christians too, right? So how much evil does he have to stand for before the evil outweighs your so-called social justice and economic justice crapola? Just how much? Well, apparently, Newsom is just playing the slimy, slithering serpent card as he goes through here trying to say, he said what he thought Charlie Kirk wanted to hear. He says what he thinks the two black basketball players want to hear. He's a slime bag in all caps. And I'll leave out other adjectives before the word slime, even though there are many that would fit. So this guy is going to go along with Mamdani because he thinks he can pick up votes. Screw the country. It doesn't really matter what happens as we have this expanding Muslim influence in this country, which will be the death knell to Christians and Jews unless we stand up, and we may have to do it. And maybe that's why those 500 million guns will be necessary to defend ourselves against an imposing regime, be it left-wing, which will be clearly identified with Muslims, because the Democrats will never oppose any Muslims on any basis whatsoever. They want their votes. But once they have a close to a majority basis, forget the Democrats. Why? Because the Democrats are all about LGBTQ, STV, WXYZ. And the Muslims will kill them. They kill homosexuals. Okay? They'll kill people who do abortions. They'll kill people who are involved in the destruction of the genitalia of children. They hate that stuff. And they'll be executing those doctors in a heartbeat. So I can tell you there is some aspects, even though it would be bad for me personally, just some cultural things, there would probably be an improvement. It's just that there'd be no more democracy at all. There are no democratic Muslim countries. There aren't. What do we have, 47 Muslim countries, and none of them are really democratic. Two, I think, Turkey and one other kind of fake it. So this is what he's supporting Mamdani. So what does Mamdani say the other day? He says the boot of the New York Police Department is on your neck, and its boot has been laced by the Israeli Defense Force. It's hard to tell what this whack job is talking about, but everything that he doesn't like, he sees Israel as the cause of the harm. He sees the New York Police Department at the beck and call of the Israeli Defense Force. Are you kidding me? This guy he's stupid on steroids. He doesn't make sense. I love that picture where he's trying to bench press to show what a man he was. He couldn't bench press his body weight once. At his age, That makes him a weenie, a wuss, at that age. I'm not saying you should be able to do that at 75 or 65, although, well, I'm not going to get into what I can do physically, because I can still do quite a lot. Praise God. I want to be like Caleb. I want to be the guy when I'm 85, I still have the same fitness that I had at age 45 when they were looking to go into the promised land. Ma'am Donnie, one other one here. He will not call on Hamas to give up weapons or relinquish power in Gaza. So this is, now catch the importance of this. This means that Ma'am Donnie would not have signed the 20-point peace plan crafted by Trump and others, because he doesn't want Hamas to give up weapons. He doesn't want Hamas to relinquish power in Gaza. And why? Because he wants Jews dead and Israel wiped off the face of the map, just like every other Hamas whack job. I am going to do my best next week to identify the passage in the book of Deuteronomy that calls for Israel to wipe Gaza off the map. And why is Hamas breaking out in defiance, still executing people, not giving up their guns, not relinquishing power? Why does Netanyahu have to bring out the military again? Netanyahu went along with something he didn't want, didn't like, didn't agree with. He's thrilled or not, because he's not going to do it. There's not going to be a two-state solution. It'll be the final solution. And if you're Jewish, you know what the final solution means. It means you're out of here. So Ma'am Donnie is on the side of Hamas when it comes down to the issue of the ceasefire and the peace and everything in Israel. Could be the mayor of New York City. I understand that rich people, I don't know how, there aren't very many conservatives, but I understand that they're moving to New Jersey. Could it be called Red Jersey? I don't know. I went to Lowell High School, and we were the Lowell High Red Arrows. Never understood what the heck, why we were Red Arrows or what it ever meant. But we had red and white jerseys. So it might be Red Jersey. If enough people, conservatives, move out of New York City, bankrupt the town because they won't have jack to tax. And too bad, Ma'am Donnie. Where are you going to get your money? Well, all they can talk is deportation, deportation, deportation against the immigrants. No, they're illegals. They're not immigrants. But this is such an alarming number. 60%, 6-0. A 60% majority of young liberals fully endorse violence to stop deportations. 60% of young liberals are supportive of obstructing justice, looting, damaging ICE vehicles, apparently killing. That's the violence. Violence against property isn't violence. That's destruction. That's maybe a mayhem. It is a vandalism. Violence isn't done to something. You know, violence is done to a person, to people. This is what your young liberals, 60% of them, support. So it gives you just an idea of what we're in for. And if I can fit this in, unbelievable, in Wisconsin, the Winnebago County Democratic Party had a booth at the Oshkosh Farmers Market. And what were they doing? They were giving out bracelets to children that talked about, that say, "Is he dead yet?" Reference to Trump. Has somebody killed him yet? And then they also were distributing bracelets that said 8647. Which we know 86 is a street slang meaning kill, and 47 references Trump as the 47th president. This is what was being handed out to children at a county fair by the Democrat Party. You see what we're up against? Hell is breaking loose in this country. And it changes ultimately nothing for you and nothing for me. Except we need to be more vigilant. You go deeper in your word, know your word like you've... I'd skip other books, skip my books, except for one. I'd like the book about the rapture. I think you should read that one. But skip and go back and reading and understanding the word and arm yourself with the knowledge of the word and then use it. Use it. A six shooter in your holster is worthless if you've got no ammo in the chamber and you're going to leave it there. The word is stronger, the sword of the Spirit, stronger than the kingdoms and the principalities of powers that are warring against us. It's how Jesus defeated the enemy, and he used something that we can use too, or else it wouldn't have been fair for us, would it? Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.